Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, last night nearly 200 people filed into the Smithers Christian Reformed Church to speak out about potential amendments to Bylaw 1951 regarding parks and open spaces. Specifically, an amendment proposal that could change the current location of the homeless encampment at Veterans Park across from Town Hall to allow for overnight sheltering in multiple parks in Smithers or keep the encampment where it is. Earlier this month, Pam spoke with town officials about the particulars of the proposed amendments and why town is considering the change. However, due to overwhelming concerns from the community, with dozens of letters submitted to town council to that effect, not one was in complete agreement with these changes and urged extreme caution as council moves forward with the bylaw adoption process. The public open house had voices representing all walks of life in our community, and many also urged the need for more compassion for those living without permanent homes in our community. Regardless, the message from the community was loud and clear: proceed with caution. It was also mentioned many times that a simple change to a municipal bylaw is not going to alleviate the situation of homelessness in our community, and more long-term permanent solutions are needed. But this is a highly complex issue that will not be fixed overnight. During the 3-hour-long meeting, I was able to speak with multiple community members about their concerns and why council needs to rethink their approach to this issue and how we as a community can work to better understand the position of our most vulnerable citizens. But first, on Friday, Sarah McPhail of Hazleton became a national wrestling champion after winning the under-17 women's division in Vancouver. At only 14, she is following in the footsteps of other wrestling greats from Hazleton like Olympic gold medalist Carol Wynn and Lindsay Bellisil. But despite her young age, McPhail has proven herself time and time again over the last year to topple the former U-17 victor to become a national champ, and she's just getting started. Although she may have a long way to go, McPhail has already set her sights on the 2028 Olympics. My conversation with Sarah McPhail coming up right now. Stay with us.
I'm Sarah McPhail. I'm from Hazleton, but I just recently moved to Vanderhoof for schooling.
All right, Sarah, well, thanks so much for being with us today, CICK News. Now, you just won a pretty big championship, and you are a national champion. So tell me about, what did you just win, and how does it feel to be a national champion?
I just won first in Canada for U17 69 kilo girls, and it feels pretty amazing. After my match, I had a pretty good cry, so I was pretty happy. Yeah, I'm very thankful that I got that opportunity. It's pretty awesome.
So tell me, take me through maybe the day. You had 3 matches. Tell me a little bit about your competition and what kind of was going on during that day, getting fired up for your final match to become a champion.
I had 2 matches before my finals. One of the girls I had already wrestled in Edmonton earlier in the year, and they were pretty good matches. I was pretty tired at the end. And my final match, I wrestled a girl named Cassidy Pace, who is from the island in Vancouver. And she was national champion last year for 65 kilos. And I was pretty nervous, but I also had a good feeling about it. Yeah.
So you beat the reigning champ, is you dethroned the reigning champ.
Yeah, I beat her 6-1.
What was going kind of through your mind, you know, through your stomach, you know, standing, getting into the ring and about to wrestle
this champion that obviously there's got to be a little bit of intimidation factor going up against the reigning champ.
Well, I'd beat her at another tournament earlier in the season. And when I walked onto the mat, they like to start all three of the final matches at the same time. And there was still another match going on, so we had to wait like 2 minutes for it to be over. So I was kind of just tired. Yeah.
So earlier in the day, you had two other matches. And what do you do to get prepared for this? Obviously, this has been a little bit of a longer road. So we'll get into that in a minute. But what do you do to prepare for your match?
Well, wrestling matches can either take like 5 minutes or 2 seconds. Like, you never know what could happen. Like, you could get a pin in seconds. So usually I go and warm up about 3 to 5 matches before mine. And to warm up, I'll like grab someone on my team and I'll just like do a little bit of live wrestling, or I'll just like stretch and jump a little bit. And that will get me all nice and warm and prepared.
And tell me, you know, leading up to this, what did you have to go through to get into the final round of national champions?
Well, I went to provincials and I placed second. But before provincials, I was already qualified for nationals since I won the summer games. And there's a few like big tournaments throughout the year. Like there's age class and there was the Icebreaker in Edmonton. And I placed first in both of those, so that qualifies you.
And so now that you are a champ, what comes next?
I can't go to Olympics until 2028 because you have to be 17. I'm only 14 and it's only every 4 years. So I gotta wait quite a bit for that. So yeah, just go to nationals each year and keep trying to improve.
Obviously, Hazelton is a bit of a hot spot for wrestlers in Canada. There are a couple that have come out of there, won medals at the Olympics. Obviously, Carol Wynn is well-known. It seems like this is a pretty solid trajectory along those lines, and you mentioned it, you know, you got a little bit to wait. So what are you preparing to do to make sure that you're ready to go to stay in shape?
Well, I joined the track team just so that I could like keep my cardio up, and I have a gym membership, so just get nice and strong. And I ride horses, which keeps like, it's a pretty good workout if you go bareback for the legs. And yeah, I don't know, just running around doing what I can. Yeah, I wanted to join basketball, but it's the same time as wrestling. So, and I'm also in volleyball, so that's pretty good for me.
You play a lot of different sports. What drew you to wrestling?
Well, when I was younger, I went over to my cousin's house. She's like, oh, I have wrestling practice. You're allowed to come if you want. I was in grade 6. And I was like, okay, I'll go to the practice just for fun. And I really liked it. So I just kept going. And then I didn't go to any tournaments for my first year wrestling. But then my first tournament kicked butt. So then I fell in love with it. And here I am.
Nice. Now I know, you know, a little bit of your family background there. So have you had to, you know, kind of push around and stand up for yourself growing up? Is that kind of a built-in piece to wrestling now? Almost, you know, amateur, but headed to, you know, something like the Olympics. You got a pretty solid background.
Yeah. Well, no one else in my family wrestles, but I do wrestle quite a few of my family members just for fun. Like my aunt Kaylee and I will just like, we'll just be having a conversation. The next thing you know, we're like throwing each other onto the ground. So they probably help me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I find it hard to believe that other members of your family don't wrestle, but I'm sure there's been some wrestling here and there. That's great to hear. You know, what was the reaction from your family and friends? This is a pretty amazing achievement so far, and you're only 14, so I mean, you got a few more years in you, definitely. So what was the reaction from your family and friends, and how did that feel?
Well, I had a bunch of texts, and my phone completely blew up, my mom's Facebook completely blew up, my Uncle Jim was like, dinner's on me tonight, but I only wanted goldfish. it was really nice. I definitely shed some tears over my family and stuff. Yeah, I wish it was closer that they all could have come, but it was really nice, yeah.
Just a couple more things for you, Sarah. You know, tell me about the program. Obviously, here in the north, you know, we don't necessarily have, you know, access to the best facilities and, you know, the best training and whatnot. But it seems like there's a bit of a trend in wrestling, especially in Hazleton. But tell me about your program and what kind of goes on with your program to kind of get ready for these types of competitions.
Well, my coach, Mr. Travis Hummeray, he'll usually, he runs us pretty hard before these big tournaments. Like, we'll usually run lines in the wrestling room for a few seconds, and then we'll get a few second break. And he just tries to make sure our technique's down, and he won't try and teach us like new moves right before a tournament, just so that we know like what we're doing. And yeah, I usually go to Hazleton before the big tournament, and I'll have like a training session with my old coach Tom Lee, and he'll teach me some new moves, and then they actually really help. He's in a lot better shape than me, and he's in his 50s. It's not too good, but it's pretty fun. Yeah.
Something to look forward to. Aspirational. Nice. Just the last thing for you, Sarah. So now that you're a national champ, you know, you're headed home, I'm assuming on spring break, what's the first thing on your list after winning a national championship?
I want to go see my family, give them all a big hug, and then I want to go for a ride on my horses, see my friends, and yeah, just enjoy the rest of spring break. Got a week left. Yeah.
All right, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That was U17 National Wrestling Champ, Sarah McPhail of Hazleton. Up next, we hear from the concerned citizens of Smithers and what they had to say to Town Council about the proposed bylaw 1951 amendments to allow for overnight sheltering in public parks and open spaces.
For the people who wrote letters, thanks for taking the time to share your thoughts.
Smithers Mayor Gladys Attrill.
We haven't had a full public open engagement like this in a very long time, and it is nice to see people come out and to show that they're interested in what happens in the community. The other part that I'll say is I know that many of you have been stressed or feeling anxiety, thinking something that you don't want your neighborhood is going to happen to you. And for that, I want to say it wasn't our intention, and I am really sorry for that. You have your neighborhoods that you love dearly, your treasured parks that are near your neighborhoods, and you want to know they're safe. So they weren't actually a part of the recommendation. They were part of the background material in the document, but it wasn't the recommendation of staff nor the intention of council to create an unsafe situation in the children's parks in your neighborhoods and those treasured public spaces. So I just want you to know that, and I'm sorry for the tension and anxiety that people have felt leading up to this. Okay, so when this report came to council, it did come as a recommendation for a council decision, and council made the decision not to deal with it at that time, but rather to invite public comment, and that's what this is about. So we've received many letters, and we have all of you here at this open this public meeting. So that's a good thing. We are interested in the perspective of residents and business owners. This issue that we face is a community issue, and the voice of those who live here, including those who are experiencing homelessness, is important. While it is understandable you want to keep your neighborhood safe, we still have to find a solution. We know that homelessness is a complex issue, and it affects many people across Canada, and our town is no exception. As a community, it's our responsibility, and it's our responsibility at council as well, to know that all people feel valued and safe. We have a legal and a moral obligation to ensure that people have a place to lay their head at night. This requires us to have difficult conversations and to share our perspectives in a respectful and collaborative manner. We understand that residents and business owners, and you're in the room, have concerns regarding the potential impacts of temporary sheltering in the parks or near your home, open spaces. So it's not just about parks, it's about public spaces. We want you to know that your concerns are valid. We take them seriously, and we're going to give everyone's comment fair consideration before we make any decision. It's important to note that while there were several parks and open spaces noted in the temporary overnight sheltering site evaluation, the purpose of the bylaw is to designate one area for temporary overnight sheltering. And that will be a decision that comes back to council, and we may support that, we may not. The area decided on must meet certain standards, which include distance to services, suitability, and being reasonable. The Supreme Court of Canada has affirmed the right to life, liberty, and security of the person under Section 7 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, including the right to adequate shelter. Furthermore, the Canadian government has recognized housing as a fundamental human right under the National Housing Strategy Act. The courts have outlined that homeless persons may reside on public lands if there is insufficient shelter space for those persons. In addition, local governments may regulate public lands to allow persons experiencing homelessness to use certain areas at certain times. We're here now to discuss the proposed bylaw, and it's important for you to know that at the same time, we are seeking better and more permanent solutions. In discussions with entities like BC Housing, looking for increased affordable housing, supportive housing, and shelter space. Solving this complex issue is not the direct responsibility of the municipality. It is, in fact, the responsibility of other orders of government, and sometimes that's delegated to specific entities, for example, BC Housing, that we talk about often. But our community, the people who live here, are living with a lack of adequate supports, so the town of Smithers, including council, have to do our part to try to make this better. We have lobbied the provincial government for increased support for those with mental health and addictions issues. We have sought to get derelict, empty housing stock in Smithers renovated and available for those in need. We have asked repeatedly for increased number of beds for detox, and more importantly, for what is called complex care, meaning housing and the required health and mental health supports all together or adjacent to one another. We have read the letters that some of you sent, stating that you're concerned about community safety and crime. We have very recently hired a community safety officer, David Pruden, and I will introduce him. He's brand new, so David, he's here with us tonight. We have increased the number of municipal police officers from 9 to 11 in the last couple of years in the Smithers RCMP detachment, bringing the total number to 19. We are aware that the volunteer citizens on patrol may be reforming, supported by the RCMP. This is a great initiative because the police cannot be everywhere all the time. With all of this in mind, we have a proposed bylaw that seeks to strike a balance between the needs of those who are experiencing homelessness and the concerns of residents and businesses. The bylaw includes provisions for temporary sheltering in one specific place, subject to appropriate regulations and conditions. We want all of you to have an opportunity to participate, to provide feedback. We have letters from some. Some of you will speak tonight, and if we receive late letters, we will still receive them at the next council meeting. So if you haven't written a letter and you want to, go ahead. So your name is going to be called. Just come to the microphone. Keep your eye on the timer, knowing that if you go over, everyone else can see you as well. So we're going to hold each other to account for that piece. So again, thanks for being here, Mr. Schroeder.
The first speaker is Carol Morris.
Okay, so the town of Smithers staff report to council is all about tent cities and homeless people. First of all, these are not homeless people. After 120 years of my family helping to build the town of Smithers, I have come to know and befriend many people from all races, religions, and cultures. In speaking with friends who personally know the tent occupants, they are not homeless. They have places to live but choose not to for whatever reason. These are street people, not homeless people. As the town staff reports, occupants were able to find housing options outside of Smithers in nearby communities, for example, Houston, Fort Babine, and Whitsett. Note too that the town does not have a street people problem. We have a drug, alcohol, and mental health problem. We are no different than any of the cities up and down the west coast of North America, from Prince Rupert down to Los Angeles. They too are struggling with drugs, alcohol, and mental health. What is the solution? I can't give you a definitive answer to that, but I can tell you from knowledge of these cities what does not work. and that is catering to those that have made and are continuing to make bad life choices. Yes, these human beings need help. Food, clothing, shelter is not the help they need. Catering to them is not the solution. Unless you want tax-paying residents to leave Smithers just like those in West Coast cities, if you truly care about the street people, you will think about their life not today, but their life in a week, in a year, in 5 years. What is best for them? Reviving them after every overdose is not helping their future. And it's very expensive to everyone else, both in terms of money and quality of life. This topic is very important. The health of the whole community should be the highest priority. Help the few street people, but not by sacrificing the health and safety of the people who pay for programs you're implementing. Starting in about 1904, my family helped turn Smithers into the jewel it is today. Excuse me, I'm just shaking.
Carol, just because I can see you're shaking, just go ahead and replace the mic. Just relax, it's okay.
From a very early chairman, to a mayor, to town employees, to volunteer club members, to upstanding citizens, there are many family descendants choosing Smithers as their home. It is there for their sake that we cannot allow illegal occupation and degradation of our town. Federally, we are told that you can't have a free mailbox if you're not a taxpayer. Why do we allow non-taxpayers free land and accommodation?
Thanks, Carol.
Lee Young, and then Joanna Bendel is on deck.
My name is Eddie Young. I live on the traditional unceded territory of the Wet'suwet'en First Nation. Sorry, dry mouth, commonly known as Smithers. I've lived in this area since 1981. Currently, I work as a peer research associate for the Pacific AIDS Network on a project called Making It Work. This project is an Indigenous-focused, community-based research study. It looks at how services work well for people living with HIV, Hep C, and challenges with mental health or substance use. This project has a relationship with Positive Living North and Smithers. That is one of the programs that you've referred to that provides support for people experiencing homelessness. It is with grave interest we are speaking today to advocate for people who have no home. I would like to, it's emotional. I would like to acknowledge people in this experience and support their rights. I've heard from people that are living in encampments and who have been homeless. In response to this bylaw, they have identified problems, which are all voices expressed in the process of having to pack up all belongings every day, retrieve them, and set up. They will not be able to access services. They are scared. They will be more vulnerable. They are worried about the security of lockers for their belongings. It will be hard for outreach to connect and help support. They question what will happen to them if they need medical help and they don't have the support of each other. They express that they do want housing and they want a permanent encampment site. There is a dire need for warming and cooling stations, which do not exist in Smithers. Transportation was identified as a barrier. People discussed probable solutions to maintaining encampment site. It was discussed that although beds may be available at shelters, people may not be able to access. Jeez, sorry, for various reasons. This is the hard part. Plea was voiced. I wish people would put themselves in our shoes. I'd like to continue. I would also like to include in this statement and summarize that Prince George Council proposed to close the Moccasin Fat encampment. It was denied by Honorable Chief Justice Hinkson His judgment poses thoughts to take into consideration regarding Smithers Town Council recommended bylaw. I see I'm at the 3 minutes. I'm going to close this by saying Chief Justice Hinkson confirmed that the encampment was a crucial survival space given the lack and quality of accessible shelter in Prince George. I would encourage this council to take lead from Chief Justice Hinkson. I would also encourage this council to revisit Truth and Reconciliation. I'm urging this council to respect human rights of all town members. We're talking about compassion.
That pretty much sums up the sentiments that were expressed to town council about the proposed amendments to bylaw 1951 at last night's open forum. However, I had a chance to talk with some of those who spoke at the forum about the comments and their concerns that they made to town council.
Well, my name is Carol Morris. I live in Alpine Village Estates. We have a constant problem right within our little village there of street people moving in. Plus, we have a gully all around us where street people tent and live. We have the park that they're talking about, I think it's called Dogwood Park, where we all walk. The drugs, the alcohol, is a terrible mess, and I have grandchildren here who have felt unsafe, for example, coming out of McDonald's where they worked, and the one boy worked the night shift and got off at midnight, and there were some street people there who harassed him. He was terrified. He was just a high school student. You hear about this happening all over Smithers. You know what? I don't care what religion, race, color, creed you are. This is a real problem. I believe that our federal and provincial government are giving billions of dollars to our First Nations. Maybe it's time the First Nations started looking after their own people. Maybe they should start building things rather than us taxpayers paying for it all. I feel very strongly that this community was raised on very hardworking pioneers, and it should be safe for senior citizens, for families, and for children.
Oh, my name is Drenna White, and I am going to be 80 this year, and I have not felt comfortable walking downtown after dark for years. When I had my grandchildren, I never allowed them to go unaccompanied to the park. And now that they're older and they go to visit their friends, I go and pick them up rather than have them walk back to my place. Even if it's only a couple of blocks, I will go and pick them up. I have been approached for money, and I don't think that is necessary. They get lots of money. They just don't spend it wisely. But the big but is they are people, and a number of them cannot look after themselves, and so we need to look after them. But we need to be looked after too. We need to feel safe in our own community. And I do feel that they should be better looked after. They are not really safe where they are. So I had no idea what the solution is. But both they and us need to be looked after.
Okay. Hi, my name is Joanna Mandel, and I live here in Smithers.
Joanna, can you tell me a little bit about what you were saying in some of your remarks to the crowd and also to council about the proposed changes to the overnight sheltering bylaw here in Smithers?
Yeah, sure. There's a few. I mean, overall, I think the main problem is that this isn't actually proposing any solutions. What we're talking about here is really just making the problem less visible during the day. I think there's a lot of confusion about what the bylaw is actually proposing, but in my understanding, we're just talking about keeping it the way it is, except people have to pack up daily and are able to put their tents back up in the evening. So I don't think it's proposing any of the solutions it claims to do in terms of reducing crime or providing support for any people. I think one of my other key points that I spoke about tonight was the impact that this bylaw has on inequities, and particularly those for Indigenous members of our community, and what the town's commitment has been to truth and reconciliation. And it's, like I said this evening, it's really not always easy to know what steps to take towards truth and reconciliation. It's a really hard thing to know how to do and what steps to take, but I think this is a really easy way to see that this is not truth and reconciliation. This is not a step that is going to make things easier or better for people who are suffering the effects of intergenerational trauma, colonization, residential schools, child apprehensions, all the things that, and current structural racism, I mean, is still very alive and well in our communities. And like I said tonight, there's not every person who is insecurely housed in Smithers is Indigenous, but I think, as we know, people are overrepresented in people living in poverty and people who are homeless in our province. And I just think that this commitment or this bylaw goes directly against the commitment that our town has made towards truth and reconciliation. It is a really complicated issue, and I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers. I work in a nonprofit that provides support for frontline service organizations, and so a lot of our members do the really hard work of providing the support that people need. I know that the problem in terms of providing supportive housing and services that people need, and say a guaranteed basic living wage or a guaranteed basic income for everybody, those kinds of solutions are actually going to provide some sort of stability for people, like you say. If we're talking about like the crime that people are seeing, like, yes, that's probably in part due to mental health. It's also due to survival, like people needing to have ways to live, have ways to, whether if they're using drugs, have ways to buy drugs because they need it for their wellness, because they are suffering. I mean, most people who have, or who are entrenched in drug use like that are living with trauma, and a lot of those people have intergenerational trauma or generations of homelessness and things like that. So it's just really not at all realistic to think that having people pack up during the day and put their belongings in a locker and then pack up again in the evening is going to like provide any sort of solutions to like the crime we're seeing in the neighborhood. I think there's probably an argument that can be made that crime could increase based on people not having somewhere to like be together. Not to mention there's an overdose crisis happening in our province, and like potentially having somewhere to use with safely with your peers is like a way that people's lives could be saved. So I mean, it's safety, it's people's, if people have a way of staying warm during the winter, like we're not even allowing them to stay in tents. Like somebody spoke tonight about white privilege, and like obviously that's a divisive way of framing this, but it's true. Like it's the spectrum of harm we're talking about here. Like people are worried about property crime and things like that, which is fair. Like people have to deal with these things, but we're talking about people's survival. And like, do we not think that at the bare minimum people can like stay in a tent during the day in the north? Like it's actually very dangerous for us to take their shelter away during the day. And yeah, it's hard to like see such little compassion for fellow humans. And I know a lot of this is based on stigma. People are like, stop going to the library, and they're scared to go to the library. Like that's, I mean, I've worked with people who are insecurely housed using drugs. Like I've never had any sort of like violence towards me, and that probably because of the way you treat people, like Rod was talking about tonight. Like he introduces himself to people and he's not worried, he's not scared. That's kind of removing that stigma that people have. So yeah.
Christine Patrick, a resident of the encampment at Veterans Park, also spoke at the forum.
Okay. First of all, I'm Kirsten Patrick, and I'm part of the camp. And we do our best to keep it clean there, and we do our best to keep everything from happening there. We're the only ones. Me and my husband, Floyd. We do everything we can to help everybody, feed everybody, and keep the camp clean as we can, but everybody else doesn't help us. It's just me and Floyd. We do everything we can to keep everybody safe. We do everything we can to keep everybody from fighting. And I don't know, we don't do the needles thingy. We don't do pipes. We don't do any of the drinking. Yeah, maybe I give my empties to everybody. I do everything I can for everybody. Empties, I give it out to them. Feed them, I get food from everywhere I can. Even though they don't do nothing for themselves because I don't do drugs. Floyd doesn't do needles. I don't definitely do needles. I just try to help everybody. Me and Floyd.
Smithers Council will decide on whether or not to move forward with the amendments to Bylaw 1951 at their next council meeting in 2 weeks. Until then, we will continue to bring you updates on this developing story. You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.